Hi, friend. My name is Amy Joy, and this is the Make Prayer Beautiful podcast. I was talking to my friend Perry Marshall about the stage in the entrepreneurial journey where you have been a caterpillar and life has been reasonably good and you've gotten chubby. And then it's time for the metamorphosis in your life. And so you turn into a soup, literally. And then somehow that liquid becomes a butterfly. It's absolutely stunning that this is actually the process, that liquefy the caterpillar, the kind of fat earthbound creature, and somehow those parts rearrange to be this beautiful winged creation of delicacy and lightness and flight with multicolored scales. I mean, the whole thing is like, how did that happen? That is crazy. And so Perry said, oh, well, it's even better than that, because what actually they've found is that the butterfly retains memory from its time as a caterpillar. And not only that, but it also makes decisions with respect to its caterpillar-likeness. And so he did not elaborate on what kind of incredibly sophisticated tests scientists are running on caterpillars and butterflies in order to determine this. I mean, the mind kind of starts spinning, like, what on earth would you do in order to prove this? And yet, in some ways, none of us should be surprised, because the butterflies lay eggs in places that are opportune for caterpillars to get their food, and the entire process is really pretty spectacular. So that happened on a Friday night. On Saturday morning, I was walking and praying, and I looked over, and there was a nest in a tree, because the leaves hadn't completely poked out yet, and here's this little beautiful nest. And I started to think about nests, because on the one hand, I have made enough potholders in my life. I understand about weaving and how durable an item can be once it's been woven. But you think about nests, and they're made of these tiny little twigs or grasses, and yet they're incredibly durable in how they hold their shape. Which, again, most sticks are not, you know, beautifully and naturally curved at exactly the right angle that you could just fit them together to create a nest. Well, and then I was looking at this, and the nest was in the crook of a tree, like a V where the two branches met. But from my vantage point, it looked like it was mostly on one of the two, and in fact, maybe didn't even touch the other branch. And so not only is there this incredible shape, but I actually had never thought about the importance of establishing a nest in a safe location. Like, how does a bird ensure that a nest stays where it's being built? And again, I am sure that there are plenty of books that could explain it to me, and that different species of birds have different methods of how to make that work. But I mean, when you think this is there to support and sustain their young, so they have to have a pretty high level of trust, even without a building code department, and even without great knowledge of the wind speeds and the, I forget all of the engineering terms, the shear and the compression and whatever. My husband's an engineer, so I recognize these words, but the idea of having a little nest that is caring for the young, that the bird had to build using twigs and grass. Anyway, it was blowing my mind. And so maybe if you're out walking, you too can be like, oh my word, what is even happening with these little nests? It's amazing. But beyond that, so there's these mysteries in the world, mysteries. And I thought about how Bob was having a conversation with the Lord some years ago about how the Lord said, do you like the natural world, Bob? And he was like, oh my goodness, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing. And he was just praising the Lord about what the Lord had created. And then after a bit, the Lord said, do you understand everything in the world? And you know, there's a part where you're like, I am a human. Of course I don't understand everything in the world. I can have little glimpses of even quantum mechanics and the universe if we're going very, very small and very, very large. But, I mean, it's pretty phenomenal, all of the intricacies. And the Lord said, so if you don't understand everything in the natural world, why do you think that the spiritual world is less complex? I think about that statement at times because I think I have this, or maybe I should say, for many years, I had this kind of general perception that there were, I mean, if I had to try to describe the unseen realm, I would assume that it's kind of like a black nothingness. And then periodically there are these little tussles between the angels of light and the angels of darkness. And these tussles are going on all over the place. And there are worse baddies over regions or over nations. Like those would be the principalities. And then there's stronger archangels or something to fight against them. And, but it seemed pretty basic. And so I don't have any real proof that it's not like that. But I just appreciate even the question to say, if I don't think that I understand everything in the seen realm, why would I even have the gall to assume that I knew what's happening in the unseen realm? So Lord, for the places where you have revealed yourself to us in the unseen realm, thank you. It's amazing. You're awesome. And Lord, for the places where there is mystery, quite a lot of mystery, Lord, I am thankful for the mystery. I'm thankful for the places where sometimes other believers report on what they are seeing or sensing. It's encouraging and beautiful. And Lord, for just whatever you have for us in terms of a deeper understanding, deeper knowledge, we ask that we would enter in fullness to all that you have. Thank you, Lord. Amen.